In 2017, a bunch of nerds were tasked by a podcasting network to come up with a monthly show. These men promptly came up with the idea for a comic book show where they could educate the masses. Today, they use this show as a platform for helping their fellow nerds in any way they can. If you have a nerdy question, if Google hasn't helped you, and if you have a Facebook account, maybe you can ask the Nerds for Hire.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I've got Asa Gray.
Yes.
Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And I'm Jesse Kimball, and we are the Nerds for Hire. And this month, we're going to be talking about, first, our new segment, what we've been reading over the last month. The what we're reading.
We'll come up with a catchier name.
Yeah, someday. And then we're going to talk about the required reading we gave last month, which was Court of Owls.
2 months ago.
Oh, that's right, because last month we did the interview.
Yeah, we did the interview with Pat and Ben and Brian.
Yes.
For Steph and Shadow.
I haven't been on in 2 months. Well, I missed that episode.
No, I remember. Because you had better things to do or something. I don't remember.
I say work contracts me to do things and I have to do them. It's weird.
It's unfortunate. Coward. And then we're going to talk about a book that I actually just finished, which will be on what we've been reading over the last few months anyway, Batman White Knight, and we're going to do a spoiler-free review of that, and then we're going to cut to full spoilers, but we'll make sure to give you plenty of warning on that. All right, so starting off, this new segment, basically we just kind of want to talk about like what we've been reading. So that way you can kind of get some recommendations maybe on stuff to check out maybe that you haven't already been reading, or, you know, if you're interested in the topic and you've been thinking about picking up that book.
And this is going to be, we're going to keep this spoiler free as well. I think it's worth noting.
Yeah.
And also, like, full disclosure, because I love our listeners, if you're taking the time to listen to us, I want to be honest with you. The reason that I had this idea, like the main one, is one, it's easy to have like a consistent segment. Because there are so many times doing the show, we're like, what are we going to do? We'll figure something out. This gives us a consistent talking point. And also, it motivates my lazy self to actually actually read things. Because this past weekend, I reorganized the giant stack of comics that had been piling up on my floor. Because I don't want to put them into boxes until
they've been read.
Until they've been read. Because once they go into the box, they're never coming out. They live there now. And so it's like, oh, I'm looking at these piles of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I need to get going. So here we go. Yeah, I got a lot read this weekend. I'm proud of myself. I got a schedule set. Maybe.
I'm also proud of you because if anybody ever goes into my room, you'll see next to my bed, I've got this. It's a very small coffee table is what it effectively is because it's not really an end table. It's somewhere in between an end table and a coffee table. Mm-hmm. And that sucker is just stacked with comic books from my back stock. I've got like finished books that need to be organized into a box. There's at least, I would say, 100 comic books on that stack.
Mm-hmm.
At least. That's being really generous.
I've got two, Curse Words and The Flash are my two big ones right now.
Same, actually.
And I do want to keep going through those because I have really, really enjoyed both of those books. And I'm really kind of excited because, like, Flash is about to wrap up a pretty big arc. And then another huge one is, like, just kicking off now with Flash War. So I'm kind of excited to actually get there.
And since Dalton is pretty much the exact opposite of us in that regard,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and start with Dalton. Dalton, what have you been reading in the last month?
Just started X-Men Red. I let, like, 4 or 5 issues, or what, they're on, like, 3 or 4.
I finally read the first issue.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, like, it's pretty, it's the Jean Grey, her coming into, well, the Phoenix coming into an X-Men team, because this was right after Resurrection.
Yep. Question.
Answer.
Is this adult Jean Grey, or is this?
Adult okay. Jean Grey, yeah. She's not Phoenix, though. It specifically says that in the
first
book.
Oh, it's just Jean Grey? Okay,
yeah, she's just Jean Grey.
Oh, it was after Resurrection, though.
It is after Resurrection, yeah. Yes. So it is adult Jean Grey, but she's not the Phoenix.
Yeah, it's just Jean Grey. Yeah. It's been, like, it's an interesting team. Honey Badger's in it.
I love Honey Badger.
Not a big fan of that, but it's been a good, like, I want to see how it goes because I've been reading X-Men Blue. I couldn't get into Gold, so I'm hoping this will be another really good X-Men book for me to get into. See, I'm still reading my usuals, the WWE, both Power Ranger books, which those are still really good quality.
Is that Shattered Grid still going on?
I'm like two issues behind, but I think it is.
Okay.
I'm reading the WWE book and then Nightwing. But yesterday, since my work, I'm like in a weird middle spot in the year where like I'm working but not really. I've decided to get caught up on Batman. So I've bought the second trade of that, and I decided to also start Detective Comics. So I'm like five issues into that
run. Finally. Dear Lord, I need more people to be reading Detective.
Give me time, sweetie. I just started.
What's the arc in Batman that you're on? Because I don't know what...
I finished the first trade, which is I Am Gotham. Mm-hmm. So now I'm starting I Am Suicide. I'll probably read that Friday.
Oh, yeah. And then you get I Am Bane.
Yeah, that's going to be... Well,
that was a good arc.
Yeah, no. The Barnes & Noble discount, I guess, pretty legit. So
it's the members discount.
Yeah,
it really
is. Literally, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's the members discount.
It's actually not as good as the members discount on certain things.
Yeah,
is my understanding. It's the base. It's the lowest percentage discount you get from the members discount.
But
it's also free. So not going to complain. But so I've been going there to pick up some trades just because I can get a bunch of them in like right by my house. So I'm going to start reading the Batman ones. And then Detective as well.
It's really good stuff.
Yeah. Very those are kind of gaping holes in what you've been missing out of the Rebirth. Because it's so good.
I need to read more Detective as well.
Oh, but Dark Knight's Metals trade comes out next week, the 12th.
Okay. The collected of the six main issues?
Yeah, okay. What I thought came out was it was the Road to Metal.
Yeah.
So that just
that's
hit
the casting and Forge.
Yeah,
with the hardcover and all the extra art and stuff.
Yeah, that just came out like a couple weeks ago. So the actual Dark Knight's Metal proper. Because I went in yesterday or 2 days ago hoping to get that. I was like, well, I want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that that's not what it was.
Well, and we talked about it last night too when we were discussing this of just like Metal was fun. We had our issues with it. But the best part of Metal were the one-shots. The Red Death, the Killing Machine, like the Batman Who Laughs, like those.
The Drowned, like all that good stuff.
Yeah, those were so good, but they were so twisted.
Oh, yeah.
And they really kind of like, they really gave me an appreciation for those characters within the actual Metal series.
Did you see that they were releasing the soundtrack to Metal?
I knew that was a thing that he was talking about. Like, that was his original plan, because we talked about that when it got announced.
Yep. They released Red Death so far.
Is that on Spotify?
Yeah.
All right. All right. You know what I'm going to be listening to on my way home.
Yeah, no, it was a great book. Also, real quick, I did want to go back. X-Men Red, for those of you that are, you know, thinking about maybe getting into that one, I do recommend it. Tom Taylor's writing it. He's the one that's been knocking it out of the park with All New Wolverine. He's no longer on that book since it switched to X-23. I think he's just doing X-Men Red now. But it is Laura and Gabby. Laura being All-New Wolverine. Gabby is Honey Badger.
Are they both on the team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she is one of Laura's clones that you go over in the first arc.
Yep. There it is.
Yeah.
The clone of the clone.
Clone of the clone.
They're just watering down Logan.
Oh, no, Laura was the perfect clone.
She sure was.
I mean, that was the thing.
So is there clone laws of diminishing returns? How does this work?
I mean, technically.
Like, if you keep, like, if they just keep cloning the clones, eventually is it just going to be a puddle that's just like, kill me?
Oh, that was the creepy part of, it was a New 52, Batman Incorporated number 8, where Damian dies. Or no, I think it was the end of Batman Incorporated, where like Batman finally like somebody cuts the head off of a Leviathan, mm-hmm. and it's just like a 10-year-old head. But it was like a giant monster almost. It's like, oh, that's unsettling. That's why you don't clone something 80 times, Doomsday.
I mean, that worked though.
Yeah it did.
Well, for a while. Then he woke up from his nap.
Well, yeah. I mean, it worked.
White hot room. Okay, I just.
A goal accomplished.
I have found myself actually legitimately using White Hot Room as a
an anger
as
yell.
A clean bit of frustration.
They do actually go over the White Hot Room a little bit. They mm-hmm. touch on it in the Resurrection. It was interesting. It's actually really interesting.
It's got a good cadence for me. White Hot Room. Just
three words, all one syllable.
Well, three ain't enough.
But yeah, no. Going back, I mean, I think technically because Laura was the perfect clone of Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, taking her genetic material would be like just
This wasn't a real discussion I wanted to get into, by the way. Like, it's not like I don't want to debate the logistics of Marvel cloning clones.
I just wanted to think about it for a minute.
Because if you could actually create a perfect clone, then Jackal's back in business. And we don't want to give him the idea.
Yeah. Oh, poor Jackal.
Somebody's like, oh, I figured it out.
Yeah. Somebody managed to do, like, they just do randomly what he's been trying to do for years.
In so many attempts.
So many awful, horrific attempts.
How are you still, let me rephrase that because that's going to sound very accusatory and I don't mean it that way. How are you enjoying Nightwing since you are still reading that? Not how are you still reading Nightwing? Like, that's not what I meant at all. Just because I was also, like, I started at issue one at Rebirth. I gave up on it after the third arc, I think.
Yeah, I think it was like
I didn't even make it through the
18,
first arc.
I think you made it to like 18, 20.
Yeah, because it was the Mr. Smile, Guy Smiley or whatever his name was. Yeah. I couldn't handle that anymore.
It's a book.
But your affinity for Nightwing is greater than
as
mine.
As much as I hate Harley Quinn, that's how much I love Nightwing. He has a new statue out from Sideshow. It's only $40. But, like, it's super cartoony looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Harley Quinn doesn't show up in the Nightwing book at all, does she? You're just using
No, I'm just saying that is how much I hate Harley Quinn is how much I love Nightwing.
He will not read a great Harley Quinn story, but he will continue to read a terrible subpar Nightwing. I won't go terrible.
He read Grayson, didn't he?
No.
That's not a Nightwing book. That's not a Nightwing book. I read issue one of that, and I said, nope.
Huh.
If I want to read James Bond, I'll watch a James Bond movie.
But it's Dick Grayson.
It wasn't Nightwing. It's not a Nightwing book. Did it say Nightwing on the cover?
I guess not.
Oh, yeah. Loophole. I have number one, and I think I have. They did a Lego cover, and I think I might still have that in my house.
Yeah, fair enough. So there is a line for Dick Grayson and Dalton.
Yeah. It's the only one. Like, literally anything else. If he's Batman, I'm going to read it. If he's Robin, I'm going to read it.
Which I'm also a. I've been meaning to talk to you about this with current Batman. Remind me after the show, because we talked a while back about Dick Grayson will be Batman in
an upcoming arc of Batman. Arc. Yeah,
and I think that kind of has happened, and not in the way I wanted it to.
Do I need to start buying Batman books so I can read that?
I wouldn't.
Oh no!
Wait, I'm.
Are you caught up on Batman?
Yeah, I'm caught up on Batman. No, I just finished the
because it's the Booster Gold arc.
Yeah. I mean, that's different. That's a whole other...
Hopefully.
Oh, no, it absolutely is.
Because I know they said there was something about, like, there's a honeymoon, and that's how Nightwing was going to be taking over, but...
No, Bruce Wayne gets jury duty.
It was jury duty after the honeymoon.
Yeah, so that and that's where... And so Bruce Wayne is sequestered, so Gotham still needs a Batman, and Nightwing comes back and steps in.
Right, and I do remember that being, like, the setup for it, but then it kind of happened in this Booster Gold arc.
No, this is not that. I would put hard money on that right now.
All right, cool.
Cause
let's hope you're right, because I didn't like this one at all.
I mean, I loved it.
I loved the arc.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far as, like, looking forward to, like, Nightwing as Batman...
Yeah, that's the whole alternate future thing that... Oh, so speaking of... Was there anything else that you were reading that you were wanting to...
No, I think that's it.
I don't finish that X-Men Red team, okay. though.
Do that.
Go ahead and say the rest of
it. It was Wolverine, Honey Badger, Gambit, obviously Gambit. Jean Grey. Not Gambit. Well, you know, Gambit's going to be in it, but
he's on the cover.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's also on the cover of Gold, so... Yeah. Well, he just kind of floats around.
Right. No, yeah, he's just Gambit. And then... I'm trying to think of what is his name. He's the Wakandan mutant.
Giant. Tiny. No, it's something infuriating like that because it made me lose
gentle.
My mind. Gentle.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Gentle.
Yes, it was. Wait, hot room.
Yeah, and then they're going to have Storm's joining the team in August.
Yeah, because we talked on Nerd Up. We talked about her
suit
that looks
her new
legit.
Outfit.
Yeah, Nightcrawler, Wolverine, Honey Badger, Gentle, Tyranny, and Namor.
Oh, and Tyranny is the... Namor. Yeah, and Tyranny is a new mutant, isn't that the case?
Yeah, she doesn't have a Wikipedia page right now.
I want to say that's the one that gets introduced in the first issue.
Probably.
But
yeah,
I'm not positive.
I think that's right.
It's a cool name. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's kind of like high school grunge band name, but Tyranny.
Yeah, which, in fairness, almost every other... X-Men name is also a high school grunge band name.
Because I've only read the first issue, and I think that's the character they pick up at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But then they do a setup for the rest of it.
I also have the first... I also have the first issue. I just didn't want to read it because I didn't want to, like, it was like, ah, I'm probably, I can't like another X-Men book. I already had to drop Gold. I see, and I was the opposite of you. I liked Gold quite a bit, but I couldn't get into Blue.
And see, I like Blue and, like, thought Gold was meh. Like, it's not bad, but it's just not...
I didn't like the team as much.
See, and that's how I was. I like the gold team a lot more than I like the blue team.
Well, Dalton, like me, also got really into all new X-Men because that's what Blue is yeah. just the Young Mutants plus Jimmy and who else is in that book?
Jimmy's right when I dropped it.
Yeah, because you got Jimmy, Mags.
Can we say Magneto?
Yeah.
All right, cool. It was like issue 5 that he ended up being like the leader that he ended up leading the team.
Yeah, you got Magneto, and then you've got Polaris.
Magneto
already lead the all-new X-Men team? Or is that a new development?
That's in Blue.
That was Blue.
Yeah, that happens in
Blue. Well, I meant like in the all-new X-Men run. Like, they have some sort of mentor relationship with him?
No, Magneto was still just hanging out with...
Because he was a good guy, and they were like, how? Why is he just chilling here?
That's not Scott.
Cool. Because Magneto and Cyclops kind of like, you know what? Because that was actually how the all-new X-Men started was, Beast was bringing back the X-Men of the past to remind Cyclops to stop being a douche nozzle. And it ended spectacularly.
It ended the exact way it would end for anybody at this table.
Oh, yeah.
If you brought 15-year-old me... It's a 25-year-old me, and is like, no, you're going to be doing a bunch. Like, shut up. You were stupid. You picked French horn. Like, you have no bearing on my life anymore.
You listen to me.
Because basically what ended up happening is, young Cyclops is like, so why are you such a terrible human being? Like, oh, child. The things I want to warn you of.
Right.
The things that are coming.
But you still have hope in your eyes. Away.
You have no idea.
That's pretty much what happened. He was just like, I will tell you everything, but it would ruin you.
Because boy, Cyclops has not led a pleasant life.
No. Not even a little bit.
That's what happens when you're lame.
Iceman was pretty...
I'm not the only person I know that loves Cyclops from the 90s X-Men is Shannon.
And Dalton. Oh, really? And that was mostly directed at Dalton because Shannon won't listen to this.
You know how I didn't look at him, right?
You what?
You notice I wasn't looking at him, right?
No.
I was just diverting the fact that I wasn't looking at him.
I thought you were just trying to stay on the microphone.
That too.
No, he's not going to consciously decide to do that.
No, I'm really trying this time, guys.
Cyclops is that poor man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he might... No. Oh, never mind. That was something completely different. That was also really terrible. That happened in a recent X-Men book. But anyway. All right, so I think that finishes up. Yeah, Dalton. So, Asa, what you got?
So, to kind of jump back to what we were talking about earlier. I get really behind on books. But I pretty consistently am able to... I keep caught up with two. The first one being Batman by Tom King. It is amazing. We talked about it so many times about how can you possibly follow Scott Snyder's run, and lo and behold, it's a lot different. It's a lot different, but yeah, Tom King has done it and he's done a phenomenal job so far. So I'm caught up on that. That last arc that just ended does feature Booster Gold and an alternate present. Yes. It's a time again. This is how much I like Tom King. Is because we got a time travel story, and I actually dug it.
Well, you also like Booster Gold, don't you?
Booster Gold is kind of... I don't know that much about him. It's just like anytime he shows... I haven't read like a dedicated Booster Gold book, minus like a handful of issues of like him and Ted Kord teaming up, because that's always just fun.
Oh, yeah.
But when he shows up, he's so over-the-top just idiot that it's fun.
Yeah, and that's actually the current Batman arc does a great job, if you're not familiar with Booster Gold, of giving you literally his entire, like, his backstory.
His backstory, as well as, like, it's a really great characterization of who he is.
Right.
He's from the future, he's from such a distant part of the future that all of these heroes are now part of history, and he works at the museum, so he decides to use a bunch of future tech to go back in time so he can meet all of these heroes that he, like, idolizes. But he's also kind of a scumbag, so he does it for profit.
Yep.
And just... And
then he has a cool, like, edgy name for himself, and then it just ends up getting Booster Gold.
Yeah. So that story ended up being, like, a lot of Tom King stories, surprisingly dark. But it was so much fun. Like, it was so good.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to call it fun, because
yeah,
because
it wasn't
that. Wasn't fun.
No, a lot of it was just like, oh no,
yeah. Oh no,
oh.
And he and his just like, no, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. This will fix it. Okay, so everything's on fire now. This will fix it. And it just, it's so good. This,
and the way it ends. Whew.
Is so rough. Yeah, oh, but it has me excited for this upcoming the arc of the wedding and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading Batman. I love that book. That's one that I can easily recommend to anyone. Just it's so good. And then the other one that I constantly will keep up with is Detective Comics by James Tynion IV. That is also one that has kind of. I have liked certain arcs way more than I've liked other arcs, but they've all been consistently really good. There's this is, again, a testament to, one, how much time travel happens in comic books, but also how strong the writing is, because there was a time travel arc, and I liked this time travel arc a lot less than the Booster Gold one, but it's set up enough in the overall, the ongoing story, that mm-hmm. it was fine. That run actually just finished. Detective Comics is going to continue, but without James Tynion IV. So I actually think I might drop it, because it wasn't a satisfying end for as many characters as I would have liked. And there, I feel like there are some still really, really good stories that I want told, but I don't want them told by anyone other than him, because he's told such so many like emotional, hard-hitting stories
mm-hmm.
that like I feel it's like no writer owns a character.
Right.
But my selfish like lizard brain is like, but don't let anyone else talk about Clayface or Orphan. Those are now off limits.
Tynion did it the best and no one else can repeat.
Right. Just let him pick up where, you know, where this leaves off. So I'm super bummed that that's ending, but I'm really happy you're finally getting to reading it. I'm very excited for you to eventually get caught up.
One day.
I believe in you. It's so good. The other thing that I marathoned White Knight since that all came out. We'll get to that here a little bit later in the mm-hmm. show. The other thing that I finished is Batman Ninja Turtles 2, which I think is also James Tynion IV.
It is. Because James Tynion also did the first one.
The first one. And the first one as well was just a 6-part miniseries where there's a crossover between Ninja Turtles and Batman,
yeah.
which are the two shining beacons of my childhood and life. So I was super excited. Honestly, I liked the first one a lot better. The second one was good. He did a weird characterization with Bane where he made him like super verbose and he just talks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like super smart, but he's kind of like bordering on the r/I am very smart speech. And it's just like, ah, come on. That's not really... Because he is hyper intelligent, but he's not this talky.
I mean, he was really talky in like that first major arc with him.
Nightfall?
Yes, I think.
Or I Am Bane?
No.
Nightfall.
Like the original, Nightfall.
Nightfall, yeah. I mean, yeah, but like maybe it's been so long since I've read Nightfall that I'll need to go back and read. But like I like recent Bane. Like I Am Bane. Bane.
I Am Bane. Bane was awesome.
Was so good because I can also just hear the Teen Titan or the Young Justice voice in my head. Like that's the voice that I now associate with Bane.
That's a solid one. And I mean, that was a solid representation of Bane as well.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, I'm usually pretty happy with Bane as long as it's not Batman Returns, Robin.
Or yeah, Batman Robin.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was the worst. The mindless. And I know people have their, like, they compare that Bane to what we got in Dark Knight Rises, which I very strongly disagree.
Yeah, with. No, I will never make that comparison.
But so, it's a lot of fun. If you like Batman and the Ninja Turtles, it's also a really good Donatello story.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you love your Donnie.
He is the best turtle. And so they do kind of a weird thing with him, but I dig it. And again, Tynion is really good about these, like, emotional, really personal stories. Just the giant world-shattering possibilities that are going on around them are a little bit... They clash, and they feel a little bit at odds, but...
Hmm.
I dug it. I'm happy I read it. I just... It was... Compared to the first one, I like the first one a lot better.
Yeah, because I've got all the issues of the first one, and I still haven't read them. Mm-hmm. They entered a box when I was moving.
Yeah.
And...
Once they are in the box, it's...
Yeah.
Especially when you get multiple boxes and you don't know which one is in which and they're not all as organized as they probably should be.
Yeah. I really desperately need to. Back when I first started collecting again in the New 52, mm-hmm. I was like pretty anal about like where everything went and like the alphabet and like separating by DC, Marvel, Image, etc. And then that all just kind of went to crap because I...
It's so hard to do because the numbers keep going up.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, all of my Batman books fit in this one. And then like 3 months later, and you're like, crap, now I have like another half box worth of Batman stuff. I can't keep those all organized because then I have to take all of these out. And I don't have the brain for that.
See, and I just recently reorganized all mine. Mm-hmm. And it took me an hour. And
you buy 3 books a week.
And so. That's what... Well, like I... Yeah, but what I'm saying is it took me an hour. I don't want to know what it take y'all.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's what I was getting at.
My roommate Wyatt has as many long boxes stuffed as I do short boxes, if not more. And there was a weekend that like, which in our old apartment, I didn't really use the living room because my TV and everything was up in my room. So I didn't need like the common area as much. Mm. But he's like, hey, just as a heads up, for like 4 days, I'm going to kind of take over the living room to organize my comics. And it took him like days of just solid time going into it.
I did the Hastings, like y'all remember like the middle, like the back issues. Mm-hmm. I did that one time.
Whew.
Took me a week.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, I believe that.
Oh, it was hell.
Yeah. Because I mean, I even what I've got now would easily take me days because I have, I don't even have that many. I've got probably like 9 or 10 short boxes mm-hmm. worth of comic books, and that would still take me a ridiculous length of... Oh, okay, I probably have more than that now. But it would still take me a really long time.
I was about to say, that math doesn't add up because I have 4 that are almost filled.
Yeah. I just don't like thinking about how much money I've spent on comic books.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not a good thought. And that's really... That's kind of like... I mean, I'm caught up on Titans because that one's ending. I'm caught up on a couple other things. But those are the ones that I'm focused on. Right. My to-read list includes Curse Words, Flash... And Chip Zdarsky's Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Gotcha.
So those will probably be the ones I talk about next month.
I need to remember that. I'm going to need you to text me that tomorrow morning.
Which one?
The Pete Zdarsky one.
Okay.
Because I need
Chip
to find
Zdarsky, Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man.
I put names together. It's fine. But text me that whenever I go to Villainous.
Okay.
That way I remember to try to find that trade because I did not have that at Barnes.
Okay.
Fair enough. For me, it's... I read a lot of stuff. There are 4 books that always go to the top of the stack.
Just real quick, the DC Nation number 0 was fun. That includes a really good Joker moment, as well as a little kind of a preview of the No Justice event that's leading into the #1 Justice League #1 that just came out this week. So
it's coming out this week or already came out?
Either is coming out this week or came out last week. I'm pretty sure it comes out like tomorrow.
Let me check Villainous Grounds. See what
but
we got.
So. That's an interesting story, kind of rebooting the Justice League team, not necessarily the whole universe, but it's events falling out of
Metal.
Yeah. Oh, I also have all those #1s of the new age of DC heroes, and I do want to read all of those Hunt for Wolverine books. Ah, so much time. Okay, sorry.
So many books.
Mm-hmm.
So little time.
They canceled Iceman to give me a Dazzler book. Mmm.
Enjoy.
Salt.
I mean, in fairness, there have been a lot of new Marvel books introduced. Iceman may not have been canceled for Dazzler, but it may not have also been canceled. They may have just told the story they wanted to tell, and it ended. There is a difference between a book ending and a book getting canceled. And
it's the same to me.
That's not, though.
You're just taking it as a personal attack? Are you so triggered right now?
A little bit.
So think of it like Community.
No, that, I
tread lightly.
That shit got canceled a couple times.
No,
it did.
Think of it like King of the Hill.
That also.
Yeah, that got canceled specifically for the Cleveland show, and I will never forgive Fox for that.
And see, that's what I'm talking
about.
It's
only making me hate Dazzler more.
You got Community or King of the Hill or something like that actually got canceled versus a show like, say, Parks and Rec or Breaking Bad that ended.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
They did not nearly give me enough Iceman for me to compare it to Breaking Bad.
There was only 4 seasons of Breaking Bad.
Five.
Did you get 4 issues of
almost
Iceman?
You're not funny.
You definitely got.
I disagree. I'm very funny.
You definitely got 5 arcs out of Iceman.
No, I got maybe 5 books out of Iceman.
You got way more than that.
No, I think they gave it was 12 books.
Yeah, it had a year.
More than double what you said. Jesse, what have you been reading?
All right. So similar to Asa, there are books that always go straight to the top of the stack that I make sure that get read every month.
So we need a video podcast. No, we don't.
No, we absolutely don't. This podcast would have gone to adult real fast. But anyway, okay, guys, Asa used some obscene gestures towards Dalton. As he deserves.
That's all.
Yeah,
we need.
Yeah. Just to punctuate what happened on the air. But anyway, so yeah, there are books that I make sure I always read because I do have a heavy backlog of books. But there are four books that always go to the top of the stack, and that is Batman. It's a twice monthly, so yeah, I end up with two issues of that a month. All New Wolverine, which has now ended. Which I mean, I'll replace with X-23, and that might keep going. Similar to Detective Comics, like I'm going to grab an issue or two, but
it's not the same. It's not Tom Taylor.
Correct, and that's why.
Okay, yeah.
But in addition to it getting a new writer, it also changed the name because obviously Logan is coming back, so they didn't really want to print Wolverine and All New Wolverine concurrently.
Right.
That would cause some confusion, I'm sure. So yeah, it's going back to X-23, which is a little unfortunate, but whatever. It's just a title. I'm sure they'll keep calling her Wolverine in the book. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they won't, because, again, Wolverine's back.
A lot of people call him Logan, though.
Well, they've been calling old man Logan.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been called Wolverine. I forgot about him.
Oh, so he's still kicking around, too. So we're going to get old man Logan and regular Logan. That's okay. That's kind of interesting.
It could be.
That could be neat.
It'll be looking like my Mezco collection soon.
It's gonna, I really want to get that moment of just like him looking at him like, you know, old Cyclops did young Cyclops. Like, boy, what you're about to see.
Except neither of them give up.
No, that was old Iceman and young Iceman, where it was just like, what happened to me? That was like my favorite panel in that entire run of just them two looking at each other.
So anyway, that one's ending, or that one has ended. Like I said, I'll give at least the first arc of X-23 a shot, but I don't know. I'm not as excited about it. Tom Taylor just really killed it with All New Wolverine.
It's also who's writing X-Men Red.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned that already.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yep. My bad.
Then there is, obviously Batman, Tom King. We've talked, you know, quite a bit about that. Miss Marvel. I think it's G. Willow Wilson's writing that one still.
I don't know. I haven't read any of the
I'm pretty
Kamala
sure
Khan
that's
stuff.
Right. I'm almost positive it's G. Willow Wilson. I'm going to look that up. Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Just a
well,
second.
Here, I'll look it up while you talk about the actual arc.
All right, I found it already. We're good.
Okay.
good job.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, G. Willow Wilson's been writing that one. It's been really, really good. It's one of those books that, like, it's just a fun read, and it's kind of like young adult teen heavy, but I'm still enjoying it for reasons. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, a Pakistani hero, which is really interesting to read about. And she's, I think G. Willow Wilson is...
Pakistani herself?
Yes, but before I say that, I'm going to look that up again. I don't know if she is... Well, she is American.
I'm trying... Yeah.
And she's also from New Jersey, which is where Miss Marvel is from.
Oh, Justice League number one does come out tomorrow, by the way.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wasn't 100%.
Yeah, she's Muslim, but I don't think that she is actually Pakistani. But either way, she's writing about a Muslim superhero, which is awesome.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's interesting, at the very least. And, you know, have a Muslim character in comic books that isn't a villain, or just a side character that's being mistreated somewhere. So, yeah, there's that. Like I said, really solid read there. And Daredevil. I got back into Daredevil thanks to the Netflix show. Mm-hmm. And I started with Mark Waid's run, which Mark
so
Waid.
So good.
Yeah, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee, we've talked about it before, just
revitalized that character.
Oh, yeah, knocked it out of the park. It was so fantastic. Kind of just brought him back to his roots and carried it on from there. And I love Chris Samnee's art. That combo also tackled Captain America recently. I think they did up to issue 700. That's been super fun too. They did Black Widow. It wasn't as good, but it was still really interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Charles Soule picked up Daredevil, and he has introduced a few characters to that run that have been pretty great. Like, I want you two real quick to look up the character Muse from Daredevil.
You showed me.
Yeah, I know. I've shown you.
Yeah, that's the one that you've shown me that is terrifying.
Yes.
And it, yeah, that that the picture alone of him almost made me go out and buy that the get into that arc. Here you go, Dalton.
Oh God.
Yeah, he's real unsettling.
Yep. I don't know. I'm good.
Yeah. So those of you out there at home, yeah, just give that a quick Google.
I kind of hesitate to almost put this in the comment section.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give that a quick Google. But yeah,
ask your
noted.
Parents' permission.
It is not a pleasant image.
That's a heart on a plate.
Yeah, Muse was like that arc was fascinating. The short gist of some of the things that he does, he's an artist. All of his artwork is excellently done, brilliant, looks great. All of it is using pieces of people, mostly blood, lots of blood.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a piece.
Lots of blood.
Pieces.
Chunks.
Oh, we found another word that gets Dalton.
When talking about blood, chunks will get me.
But anyway, and then it kind of moves on from there, and a couple of other pretty great arcs. They introduce Blind Spot, who's kind of an apprentice to Daredevil. He's not actually blind, but he makes himself invisible.
That's like offensive.
He built.
No, there's something hilarious to me about a blind superhero sidekick can go invisible.
I don't know
why. That tickles me.
It's that whole mystery man.
But only when no one's looking.
Yeah, just like I'm invisible, but when no one's... Oh, God. Only that's such no a good looking. Movie.
It is. Except thanks to Shameless, I haven't watched it in years.
I watched it a couple years ago, and it's still, for me, it was still fun.
There are other movies that you think hold up that don't, so I'm just going to move past it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's fun.
But anyway, Blind Spot's a really cool character. He, like I said, he's apprenticed to Daredevil. He's this poor kid from Chinatown, and he makes his own suit using some technology that he found. Mm-hmm. He's not another Marvel genius that can make super suits, but yeah, he can go invisible with the suit.
Everybody in that universe is a seamstress.
Yeah.
Or they have access to one.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't ask many questions.
Sewing is a very important skill.
There's actually...
You should be able to at least replace a button.
In Gwynpool... There is a character that they introduce that creates costumes for heroes.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's kind of like the spectacular Spider-Man arc. There's the Tinker's brother.
Yeah, that apparently Spider-Man has never heard of.
Yeah, I do like that. And then even in the Daredevil Netflix show, he gets the suit and Fisk gets his suits tailored from the one guy. And then the kind of simple fella.
Yeah, it was the same guy, though, that did both
of them. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like they at least kind of address the fact that...
Oh, the Tinker...
Not, right.
Yeah. That they're not just making their own stuff.
Right.
There is a guy that's doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is actually kind of a nice touch of how, like, from Spider-Man Homecoming, how Spider-Man suit is garbage. It's just clothes.
Yeah, it's basically a cut-up hoodie mm-hmm. and some cut-up sweat clothes with some cleverly designed goggles.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the web shooters were the big things.
Yeah.
Going all the way back, Blind Spot, cool character. And right now they're finishing up an arc where Wilson Fisk actually becomes mayor of New York City.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's fun.
Oh, it's been interesting for sure. And Fisk actually hires Matt Murdock as his...
Legal counsel?
No, not as legal. It's a mayoral position.
He's in his mayor cabinet.
Yeah.
Okay.
As some sort of attorney. Like it's not. What is the name of that position? Like it's an actual position
Treasure.
That exists that works for the mayor for legal purposes.
Paralegal.
It's
not a paralegal.
Shit, I don't know.
It's kind of like the prosecuting attorney, but
right.
not really. Mm-hmm.
Attorney general.
It's not an attorney general either.
It's fine. He's holding a position of power under Wilson Fisk.
Yes, and things go from there. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
And this is a universe in which everybody has forgotten that Matt Murdock is Daredevil.
Yes.
Okay.
And Charles Soule sets that up really well, because this is probably the, for those of you that aren't big into Daredevil, Daredevil has had his identity revealed to the world no fewer than 5 times, and all 5 times it's been undone.
Yeah.
Sometimes the excuse is better than others, and sometimes the methods are better than others.
See, that makes me like Nightwing so much more, because it happened one time in New 52, and they canceled a book over it.
Oh, yeah, that was atrocious. That was atrocious. White hot room.
If for some reason, like, they just keep finding, writers for Daredevil just keep finding reasons to have that dude's identity revealed, and it's really upsetting for the poor guy. Mm-hmm. Mark Waid and Chris Samnee probably had the best reason for it. Like, he had to basically reveal his identity so that he could save a whole bunch of lives. Mm-hmm. And it made sense. And then he moved to California, and they had a great little, like, run in California. It was kind of neat. Then, yeah, Charles Soule run comes back, and he's...
Because Twitter doesn't exist. Hey, guys, this is Daredevil. So this dude just moves to California.
They know who he is in California.
Okay, I was going to say, there's so many superheroes. Maybe it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, they know that he's Daredevil. He just can't, because whenever he reveals that he is Daredevil, he gets disbarred in New York. So he goes to practice law in...
they should just put him in a community college and be like, oh, you have to earn your bar again.
That's not how that works. but anyway... Yeah, no, the Charles Soule's run has been really good. And Charles Soule is an author we've talked about a whole lot. Curse Words is another book that he's been working on that Asa and I have been reading. That's another one that I got to get caught up on, though, like Asa.
Mm-hmm.
He's also doing one of the Wolverine books that includes Daredevil. I think it's Weapon Lost.
I don't know. I don't know what the creative teams are.
Fair enough. I only remember off the top of my head Charles Soule for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think Tom Taylor is doing the, it's the one with Iron Man in it.
I haven't read any of them yet, so I don't, yeah, fair enough. I am not helpful in this one.
I've read all the number ones, and I've read The Hunt for Wolverine so far. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I've read over the last month. I also read Metal. I've been keeping up with White Knight as it came out, so the final issue came out in the last month of White Knight. Boy, it was great. We're going to talk more about that later, or at least I liked it a lot. Let's see, what else have I been reading? There's been a lot of stuff. I finished Phoenix Resurrection. Been reading Venom. I'm quite a bit behind on Venom and Spider-Man now. The main run of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also behind on Spectacular Spider-Man. I've been reading that too. But
I really like that first couple arcs.
Yeah, the first couple of arcs have been really good. But yeah, I'm at least 3 or 4 issues behind.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Spider-Man. I'm probably 3 to 4 issues behind. So I'm a little bit into the final arc, Dan Slott's final arc. Basically the Red Goblin. Red.
Yeah.
I'm really, really excited to see where that goes, because I've heard it's been really good, and 800 just released last week.
I saw a spoiler for 800, and oh boy.
Yeah, I'm excited
thing,
to read it.
Thing happens.
Interesting
thing. And I would not I would not expect it to hit me the way it did, but like I'm sitting at work reading the page and I'm like, oh dear, okay, these are feelings.
Did you read at all about Peter Parker and J. Jonah Jameson's arc inside of Dan Slott's run?
Mm-mm.
That was surprisingly emotional. Which it happens like, before, it's like issue 792 or 793,
mm-hmm.
something like that. It's before this final arc. And, basically, Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson finally have it out.
Huh.
And it is shockingly emotional.
Neat.
And it's a huge character development for J. Jonah Jameson, and I loved it. Man, this is what makes me mad about Dan Slott. Like, there is sometimes that he just gives us absolute gold inside of Spider-Man, and then there are other times where he just kind of, like, poops on a plate.
Speaking of Spider-Man, John C. McGinley just retweeted my...
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yes! Okay, so for those of you out there listening, a while back
Quest for 1,000. Follow Asa Gray at the 5-star man. That's the numeral 5 on Twitter. Go and check out that tweet. That's all you need.
Did you find the picture?
Yeah, I got the the picture is with it.
Oh, nice.
I even credited the Reddit user who made it because it's not real, but it should be real.
It absolutely should
be. So twitter.com/thefivestarman, that's the number 5. Hit the follow button. I am absolutely withholding content from you. Quest for 1,000. I'm only 790-something away. We can do it, Internet. I believe in us.
I hope he loses followers. I've never actively wanted somebody to lose followers on Twitter before.
All my robo followers are being deleted because they're all just because I'm not clicking on their cams for you account or whatever nonsense.
Yeah, no, I lose a lot of followers like that. Like, because I notice that I get a whole lot of followers on Twitter that just see that I post #podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at their accounts and it's all stuff like improving your podcast.
Right.
Oh my God. Anyway. Point is, yeah, no, I read so many comic books, and I still have such a massive backlog of books. My two biggest ones that are now becoming a daunting task are Flash and X-Men Blue. I probably have like 30 issues of the Flash to read. Because it's a twice monthly. twice weekly.
Don't say that out loud. DC will do that shit. They'll be like, "Wait, people buy that?
Would buy 2 books per week,
and we can mark them up to $5." Well, hell, that's what I do with Nightwing. It's the same story. I just buy both covers. I have so many Nightwing books.
I need you to watch that potty mouth. That was 2 swear words in like one sentence.
F-bomb.
He did the "fuh," which
yeah,
is no, different.
That wasn't real. I censored myself because I have control. You animal.
I mean, he's right. Potty mouth.
Oh.
I would have scolded Asa for an F-bomb.
And I would have deserved it. I wouldn't have sat there like, "Oh, but someone else did a thing." No, I would have accepted the blame like a man.
Now, let's move past it. Dalton, please.
I didn't say it.
Speaking of men, Batman. Batman. He had a story.
He did. With a bunch of other men with owl masks.
They're creepy.
They
and,
really
oh, and women.
I didn't know which and one women. We were going to on that one. It's like
it's called a segue. All right, so yeah, the required reading 2 months ago, we wanted you guys to read Court of Owls, which was the second arc.
First arc. It's the first arc of Scott Snyder's New 52 Batman run. I wanted just real quick, just because we've talked about it so many times, and I finally figured out why I was wrong. So the first arc was Court of Owls. The second arc was City of Owls. The reason I kept calling it Night of Owls is because there was a crossover with all of the other Bat family.
That was the event. Yeah.
In between them, and that was called Night of Owls.
Yeah.
And then City of Owls was right after all of that.
Well, because I thought Night of Owls was the... like, that's what they called that event that happened
that
where
they
had a bunch
of tie-ins.
That's
at least what they call... That's what they at least are calling the crossover part. So, like, when Nightwing and even All-Star Western...
That was also
like
surprisingly good book.
Every New 52 book that even was tangentially related to Gotham, including All-Star Western,
which I missed that book. That was a great book in general. Like that, a lot of that new.
It was really fun.
I fell behind on it, but that was a Jonah Hex book set way in the past. But
time
yeah,
appropriate for Jonah Hex,
right?
Yeah. The only thing I read from it were those like 2 issues, but yeah,
and they were so well done. But the rest of that book was really really good. At least from what I read, I think maybe midway through its run is when I dropped off. So I don't know how it held up, but oh, I want that to come back.
That would be nice. Because, yeah, I read the first 2 or 3 arcs, mostly because, like, I got the Night of the Owls tie-in for it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they had them at Hastings because that was my comic shop at the time, which is really unfortunate. But, yeah, so they actually had All-Star Western number 1, like, through, like, the Court of Owls tie-in. I was like, oh, okay, might as well check it out because I like Jonah Hex a lot. So, yeah. But anyway, I thought they had, like, a little, like, 2 or 3 issue arc before Court of Owls. Because I know it was the first major arc they had in the New 52.
It was
It hit the ground running with it.
Fair enough. Because, yeah, it was – because I remember it was, like – issue 3 or 4 is the first issue you actually see the court. So
yeah, you don't get the reveal of the court until I think issue 4.
Yeah. All right. And we wanted you guys to read the story just to kind of get started on, because it's the first arc in Snyder's run, and it just really set the bar pretty high for the rest of his run, and it worked. Like, it just constantly knocking out of the park, like every single arc was great. Not better than the previous, necessarily, but everyone was worth reading.
Yeah.
And yeah, Court of Owls, you kind of get set up, like, at this point, you've seen Court of Owls in a lot of other media.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other comic books, even like the animated series.
For better or for worse.
Introduced the Court of Owls. Yeah.
Hated that animated movie.
Well, it wasn't that bad. They kind of told a similar story. They took elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
Except they wanted Damian to be the Talon instead of Nightwing.
Yeah. Which was such a good way to bring that in. And they were like, no, we're going to switch it. Which, again, it's a movie compared to the comic book. But
and that was also a super neat Nightwing tie-in.
Yeah,
because it gave us a lot of like extra backstory on Nightwing
and Dick Grayson's family.
Yeah, I can't remember which issue it was. It might have been into the second arc, but there's a really if you were reading both books parallel to each other, there was a moment where Batman smacks Nightwing, if you read both books, you see the slap from Batman's and Batman his angle of it, and then if you read Nightwing, they do the exact same slap, but you see it from Nightwing's angle.
I mean, wasn't that the tie-in with?
No, it was in both books.
It was in both books. Like, they were running parallel to each other.
It was in, I think it was in, like, the last issue of this arc. Because it was revealed, like, the reason, because it's a huge surprise, like, why is Batman just punching Nightwing in the face? And it's because he's knocking out the tooth that holds the metal, not Dionysium, Electrum?
I think that was right,
They add all these weird metals to make it, like, scientifically viable, which I don't think is necessary, but it's a choice they make. Mm-hmm. But it's like the tooth that would be end up they would use to control Nightwing whenever he was ready to be activated, if they would been able to activate him as a Talon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you don't really see much of the Talons. You do see the Talons in the first arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the first bit you get is basically the court has decided that Bruce Wayne needs to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that Bruce Wayne is Batman. And the court, like, you guys should read this story. If you have already, then I'm sorry for the recap here, but...
Well, and I was going to say, because it's like, we're assuming that you have read it. You have done the required reading, because this was required, so...
Exactly.
Going back and rereading it, I really, really enjoyed it. The only thing that kind of... I have two knocks against it. And one is just... isn't even a real knock, because where the arc itself leads off... is not the full story because there's the second arc that resolves everything.
Yeah.
And it made me immediately be like, I don't want to have to dig through all of my other comics because I have the individual issues.
Yeah.
And then when we bought the mask, it came with that first trade. It's like, I don't want to have to like...
I had a second trade at my house. We can switch whenever we read Kingdom Come.
I was going to say...
trades. Spoiler.
We're going to have to do trades because I was like, I know what happens, but I really want to read it because I'm reinvested in everything and like... And so it's like, yes. But that's just because we chose to only read the first arc of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only other complaint that I have is that this kind of, to me at least, other writers have really cheapened the court. And very easily so. Even the fight in the labyrinth, where it's like Batman has gone a week without food and is like, or water and is like dying.
That entire like portion of the comic book... was just like it took comic books to a new height for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the cerebral, like, because you have to like turn the comic book around to read it because mm-hmm. like everything mm-hmm. goes crazy. It kind of like, you know, tries to put you into like what Batman is thinking at this time.
You have to spiral it, I think.
It's disorienting and it's weird and you're not, and it was great, but I'm talking like the fight after where he's able, like, these super amazing assassins. It's the same thing with, like, anytime you have the League of Assassins or the League of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have these top-tier, you know, trained-since-birth fighters who are then just getting punked out by, like, one person. Granted, that one person is Batman.
And, it's, you know, the inverse law of ninjas.
Kinda. Yeah. The more
ninjas there are, the less of a threat they are.
Do you know what? I think it's Jackie Chan calls it whenever there's, like, but they still only fight one-on-one.
No.
It's noodle time.
Yeah, because
you're standing there, you're eating your noodles. Oh, now it's my turn, and now I have to go. I love that.
I like it.
The first time I read that book, I was in college, and because I got it as a trade, and because it was right when I started getting into the comics, it was like issue 15 of New 52, and Britt got me like the trade for my birthday, and I remember it was in music history class, which was the most boring class in the world. And we were watching a movie, like we were watching like this big like 3-day opera thing. So the teacher sees me reading the book. and turning it. Because, like, I have to read this. Because I sat by a window so I could get a little bit of sunlight. But, yeah, I know she just sees me doing, like, shuffling the book side to side. She finally came up and asked me what I was doing. And I was like, I'm reading Batman. Got a C in that class. I earned it.
C's get degrees, man.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, no, that's it's really good stuff. And if you didn't read it, you absolutely should. And then, yeah, you'll want to read the follow-up, the Night of Owls. Well, okay, I thought that it was called
Volume
Night of Owls.
2. You'll want to read Volume 2, Something of the Owls.
Because it's Court of Owls, and then, yeah, I thought the event was Night of the Owls. But then, Asa, you said it was...
City of Owls.
City of Owls.
Okay.
But then I also suggest after you read Volume 2 to go find the compendium of like all of the side stories and read those, because those are also really good.
Some of them were better than others.
Because there were some of them that was like the court of the owls were a throwaway bit in the book, and they actually kept going like with what was happening in that book at that point.
Really, yeah. I think the three that you like absolutely need to read from that would be, I want to say it was Batgirl, Nightwing you definitely have to read for that story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then All-Star Western
had a little bit of a tie-in. It just gave a little bit of backstory on it, because basically it was just
For fun too.
Yeah, no, it was a fun book. But then you had like Birds of Prey had one, if I remember right, and it was literally just a throwaway line
for some of the cool stuff that New 52 did. It also did a lot of really bad stuff. Like
they were big and across, like they went full Marvel on crossovers in the beginning of New 52.
And the only one that worked really well for me was the Green. But again, whenever I read the Green Lantern, I read it all in a trade.
Yeah.
So like I didn't have to buy 50 different books. I just read.
I just gave up on it. Yeah. Like, no, I'm done. Is event you after should, event?
I think
after
the
event
last the last event that I actually bothered to buy all of the all of the tie-ins was Death of the Family. Because they came with that cover of the Joker mask.
Oh, yeah, I bought every
Joker
single
mask.
One of those.
So I bought all of those, but that was the last one.
Ooh, because those were neat.
Yeah.
Super cool. All right, guys, we only have like, we're 56 minutes in.
We got 10 minutes to talk about White Knight?
Yeah, I did not realize that until about 4 minutes ago.
That's fine.
How far we were into it.
So let's jump into the White Knight discussion. Before we do that, though, do we want to go ahead and announce what our required reading is?
Yeah, I was about to say.
The required reading for next month, and we promise this isn't only going to be DC stuff. There will be Marvel stuff mixed in. But next month, you should read, because we want to talk about Kingdom Come.
And yeah, guys, I'm here. There will be Marvel stuff.
Like, yes.
Actually, I suggested some to Asa the other day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said like a giant list of, hey, here's stuff we could talk about.
Yeah, if nothing else, Kingdom Come, you absolutely should check that book out. If for no other reason than the fact that Alex Ross does the entire art for it.
Yes.
Like covers and pages, and huh.
That'll be one of my complaints.
Yeah, because it's like, why are there word bubbles in front of this? I want to see what's behind that.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for next month. Remind me that I have a complaint about that.
Oh my God, it's so pretty. Like, again, yeah, for no other reason. You don't even have to pay attention to the words, really. Just flip through it like a wonderful picture book.
Yeah, the trades, you can go to Barnes & Noble, pretty much where they sell...
You can go to your local comic shop store.
If you go to Villainous Grounds, I think the trade right now is going for $20. So if you go in there and pay them, they'll get it ordered for you. And they're really good about getting their stuff in right after they do the order. So
I think the copy I have is like a hardcover, too. Yeah. Like, this is a book that has been reprinted so many times. Like,
yeah. It's not rare. It's not expensive.
It's going to be so easy to find this. So, talk to your local comic shop if you have one. And
yeah, especially if your local comic shop has been around for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, Villains Grounds lacks that back stock of, you know, having been a long-established store. Mm-hmm. But like Dalton said, they can order you pretty much anything.
I would be willing to bet they have a copy.
They might. If
because
not,
they have
can
a
get
bunch
it there.
Because they have a bunch of trades. But, yeah, even if they don't, even if you go to Villainous Grounds and it's not upstairs, talk to Dave or Mary Jo.
They
will hook you up.
Yeah. And if you have, like, a shop that's been around a lot longer, then they will almost certainly have a copy of Kingdom Come sitting around, because it's
even
just
any shop that just sells trades, because this is one of those, like, this is one of the pillars of comic books. Like, any list of what comic story should I read,
always Kingdom Come.
And Kingdom Come is always there.
And importantly, this isn't something that you need to read anything before or after.
Yep.
Like, this is a standalone title involving Superman and a lot of the other DC characters set in the future.
It is primarily a Superman story.
Yes.
But it is set quite a ways into the future.
To the point where Superman is graying now. It's significantly in the future. So, yeah, no, it's awesome. All right, now then, White Knight, we'll talk about this real quick. I know I was reading them as they were coming out. These two have binged them in the last few weeks since the last issue released 3 weeks ago?
I think 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was like 3 in, and then whenever 6 hit, I've did the last three like last week.
Because there's 8 issues.
Yeah, total.
Oh,
eight
I
issues.
Did half and half, and however that works out. I did
okay,
four,
I just
want to
make sure that you didn't finish off at 6.
I thought he meant like he stopped reading at 6 and then read 7 and 8. Like
no,
together.
I did half and half. I just for some reason thought it was a 6 shot. My bad.
I thought gotcha. I did too originally, but.
All right, so one of the things that you'll learn about comic books, if you read a trade versus the individual issues, you often get different impressions out of it. So
that's how you read it, yeah.
Yeah, it's just because there's something to be said for the suspense between issues.
Which I hate. Boy, do I hate it.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing that happened with TV shows. It's yeah. a lot easier to, like, in my opinion, it's either a lot easier or a lot harder to really like a TV show, depending on whether or not you're binging it or you're watching it episodically.
You know, that's a good point that I didn't really think of because, like, I don't know if I would have the appreciation of Breaking Bad if I hadn't watched that last, like, the last 2 seasons as they came out.
Right.
Because it is, there is
that last season.
There is that, like, what is happening?
See, I binged the last season. Mm-hmm. I have an appreciation for it, but.
you didn't scream obscenities nearly as much as Ace and I did.
Right. All right. So, anyway, White Knight. First, yeah, Dalton, what were your impressions of White Knight?
Really liked it.
Oh, spoiler free review first.
Yeah. Really liked it. Some things that I wasn't a big fan of, but if somebody was to ask me if they need to read it, I would say yes. Mainly because if they do this Murphyverse, I feel like that's going to be a pillar.
Well, yeah.
So.
All right. Spoiler free, Asa.
It was interesting. I was able to move past the fact that this very much is an Otherverse story, but I had issues with that, the storytelling within it, which I'll be able to get into more in the spoiler version. I will say this is probably my favorite version of Harley Quinn that I've ever seen, which says a lot. And the story itself it told was fine. I hated the way it ended. Like, hands down, hated the way it ended.
Yeah, I liked it a whole lot. It's a Batman story, so I'm going to enjoy it. But I really enjoyed this. The art was just phenomenal.
Gorgeous book. Gorgeous
yeah.
book.
Yeah. Sean Murphy knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Yeah, I will agree with Asa. It's my favorite version of Harley. I love how they handled Harley Quinn in general. Like, that mini plot was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I liked the overall plot. Like, it just... I really, really enjoyed this book. I looked forward to every new issue as it came out. All right, and that's our spoiler-free review. I think the three of us kind of agree, yeah, you should read it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. It is worth checking out. Yeah. I will give it that.
There you go. All right, and one last thing for the spoiler-free version. Probably some of my favorite designs for the villains in anything.
Oh,
I wish we could have gotten a little bit more of them.
Agreed. I'm really looking forward to this Murphy versus existing.
I want to see Murphy do a story with that Bane. I want to see Murphy do a story with that Scarecrow.
Yes.
Yeah, some of the best villain art that I've seen in a long
really
time.
Cool.
And that's saying something because I've been reading I read Capullo stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, now full spoiler mode, and yeah, we won't keep too long. We're at a little over an hour now, so we'll stick to about 5 to 10 minutes of spoiler talk. So yeah, if you don't want anything spoiled, make sure you turn off the podcast now. Mm-hmm. You know, go out and read it, come back, listen to the rest of the show later to get our full impressions on the book.
Yes.
All right. So I actually loved how it ended. I really liked it. For those of you that don't care about spoilers, that haven't read it, what I got from the ending was basically the whole thing was set up by Harley Quinn. The way this book starts, Harley Quinn, I won't start with Harley Quinn. Batman chases down the Joker and just beats the absolute crap out of him and then shoves a whole bottle of pills down his throat.
Mystery pills.
We don't know anything about these
Joker
pills.
Just made an illusion that he might be able to be cured. What if I took these and I was fine? Well, let's find out.
Yeah.
Choke on him.
All of them.
All of them. The whole bottle. And
he treated him like a son that got caught smoking. He made him smoke the whole pack.
So, yeah, we got that. And it actually does cure the Joker. He goes back to Jack Napier. His skin turns back normal.
Which it's worth noting that in this universe, people know Jack Napier used to be the Joker. There is no mystery of who was the Joker before he became the Joker.
Yes. And then we find out that, and what we were talking about with Harley Quinn, we find out that the Harley Quinn that we've seen in like Suicide Squad, like that version of Harley, isn't the original Harley. It's not Harley
Quinzel. Booty
shorts
and midriff shirt, yeah.
Yeah, that is a new version of Harley. Harleen Quinzel decided that she didn't want to be a part of Joker's life anymore because Joker was so obsessed with Batman and didn't have room for her. So then you enter new Harley Quinn. Joker was so sick that he never noticed it wasn't the original Harley. And I loved how they handled that.
I originally hated it. The first time I read it, I really, really hated it. And then, but on my second reading, because I decided to wait until they all came out because I read the first two issues and I was not enjoying them at all. So I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna have the patience to sit and wait month to month. So I'm gonna wait for them all to come out, read them all, and I'm really glad I did. And so I started over from issue one, and I ended up liking that a little bit more, maybe because I knew it was coming. And my second read through also let me kind of step back and be like, okay, this is not the Batman I know. This is not the Joker I know. Because that was a personal preference. That was a problem on me not being able to
let go.
That's just a thing I have. It's the same reason I'm so down on the Venom movie, and we talked about on Nerd Up the Black and Silver, where it's like, no, I have this idea of these characters. It's why I hated Batman v Superman so much. There is no timeline in which Batman kills. And if he does, you have to show me how we got there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, that's one of the things like White Knight really kept with like Batman's core.
And that's what I hated about Joker originally is it's like, what are you talking about? The Joker's never been convicted of murder. He's killed hundreds of people. Like, he's killed an entire borough. And to me that like, and then, okay, well, okay, so no, he hasn't actually maybe killed anyone. But then I was like, okay, then why is he such a big deal? Why do they care?
I mean, my understanding was that he did. It's just that like they couldn't get any of the crimes to stick because of Batman.
But there was a line somewhere in there where it's like he may not have even taken a life. The only the only person they think he may have killed was
Todd.
Jason Todd. Because which I love that as kind of like a dangling little that's something that we will get. Because I love that he was the first. He was actually the first Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was super interesting. And I'm excited. That is a story that I would like to see told.
And yeah, that's something that, yeah, we kind of got. That was just a fun little bit we got in there later when Jack Napier's trying to remember, like, as the Joker, what happened to Jason Todd.
Right.
And yeah, it turns out the Joker's known who Batman is for a while because Jason Todd sold him out for his life.
Hated him so much that he ran away.
Yep.
To never be found by the world's greatest detective.
So yeah, that was super interesting way of handling that.
Alfred got sick. It's fine.
Do what?
Alfred got sick. It's fine.
That caused feelings.
Yeah, so it did.
Just because I know we're going to try to keep this short. The reason I hated the ending is because they did such a huge thing of setting up all of these like, okay, every dynamic you know is wrong, and here's how. And they turn everything on its ear. And then by the end of the last issue, everything is just back. Joker is Joker. Batman is Batman. The Gotham is happy to have him back. And I'm like, why? Yeah. It's the same thing. It's like my thing with Last Jedi. You have a lot of options here. You're choosing the least interesting one for me.
Well, because a few of the things they did like that stuck in this book, one of the big things that came out of it, like one of Joker's big platforms, was that Batman has all this technology that if he would share...
If he cared about Gotham.
Yeah, if he cared about Gotham, he could share with the GCPD, and they would be able to apprehend the criminals themselves, instead of having to rely on Batman to come in and illegally save the day. And yeah, they talk about a lot about that. That actually does end up impacting the Batman in the Murphyverse, or Gotham in the Murphyverse, because Batman ends up sharing it with it. They also expose the... Gotham Disaster Fund. And what we find out later is that's actually entirely funded not by the taxpayers but by Bruce Wayne's companies. So yeah, like all that
carnage and destruction. I dug that. I like the idea that it looks like the GTO, the Gotham Task or Terrorism Operations.
Yeah,
something like that. The GTO seems like that's actually going to be kind of a permanent thing. That's interesting. I like when Batman removed the cowl and exposed himself to Gordon.
Yeah.
I dug that, but just the idea that you've done such a good job of actually vilifying Batman here and Batman going off the deep end. Like, this isn't just some smear campaign that's working. It's a smear campaign that's working, but he's feeding 100% into it.
Batman falls for these traps left and right.
By taking everything way too far. And now that it's just like, okay, well, all's forgiven. And then I was very bummed to see Joker go back to just Joker too.
Yeah, and I really hope they continue that. And it's not just going to end with Jack being gone forever and it's just Joker. Because it's Batman. Maybe he can figure out what he took
between Batman and keep working. And
right. Because, one of the things that we get is basically you find out the reason that Batman has been so messed up and, been going so hard and way too far. Alfred died.
Alfred is sick, and there's nothing he can do about it. So he's working with Mr. Freeze, because Alfred doesn't die until, issue 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's a little bit into it. Yeah, Alfred is super sick. Alfred is almost certainly going to die.
Mm-hmm.
He's working with Freeze to try and cure both Alfred and Freeze's wife.
Nora. That was a twist on Freeze that I really loved.
Yeah.
It kind of did the opposite of what I hated about the Arkham games, because they kind of made Mr. Freeze just another insane person,
mm-hmm.
which I hated, because the best villains have legitimate
relatable motivations.
Animated series of I'm trying to keep my wife alive and now you're stopping me from this. That won't stand. Great motivation. This isn't actually my wife. She just kind of looks like her, so I'm just going to call her Nora. Bad motivation.
Yes.
My father was a Nazi, and I hated him, so now I'm using my tech to do good in trying to save my actual wife. Also, I dug this so much. Whenever he aged so rapidly because he actually was,
cured the freezing.
Yeah, the freezing was keeping him in his 30s, but he was actually, 70.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Nora. The fact that she made it, too.
Yeah,
that was
they cool.
gave her, an actual role. You don't really see her. But, no, she's helping with the escape efforts and, helping victims and, everyone who's been affected come to this place and, talk to Nora.
Yep.
It's that's so cool.
Yes.
That was – I talking about it now, that might actually be my favorite part.
It was really, really cool. That whole bit with, Freeze's father and Bruce's great-grandfather working on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything about that was just cool.
When he, when he sacrificed himself and he said this was for Thomas Wayne.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Dug that. Dug
really
that.
Cool. Yeah, no, there were so many cool things about this book. But, what you find out in the end is that the entire thing was orchestrated by Harley.
Mm-hmm.
I say the entire thing, not the entire thing.
Not the Neo the Joker. Pills. Yeah.
Basically, she knew that she saw that Batman was going too hard. Batman was going way too far.
Mm-hmm.
And he was likely going to end up crossing his line. And, that's when she set up the plan to film Batman shoving the pills down Joker's throat. It's one mm-hmm. of those things where it was another trap set up for Batman
mm-hmm.
where basically she just wanted to document him beating the crap out of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And what she got was him beating the crap out of Joker and then taking a full bottle of mystery pills and literally shoving them down his throat.
Mystery pills to everyone except for her.
Yeah.
Because she created them. Which that was a little too cute for me.
Yeah, that part, I was like, well, okay, I guess. But, I still dug it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ended up curing the Joker. And
but then it was only temporary because, they have pills. Side effects. And
yep. So, I'm hoping they get those fixed and that Jack Napier can continue to be, an interesting character
or
inside the
Murphyverse. Or at least have a thing where it's, it's something they constantly have to work on.
Right.
Because the dynamic between Joker and Jack Napier I thought was kind of cool. I did
them switching back and forth.
Them switching back and forth, but also just Joker's still there. Joker's his Hulk.
Oh yeah, I know he's aware.
He's blocking me. He knows where Jason Todd is, but he's blocking it from me.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, there was a lot of cool moments in mm-hmm. that bit. So yeah, I could see that the ending
for me, again, it's a personal thing. I was let down by it just because if you're gonna do something to really shake up the status quo, have the stones to stick with it. And it really didn't. It felt like the changes that were made, because I'm not going to say that everything went back to normal, because there were changes. Potentially, this may end up being the only story we get in this universe.
Right.
I do think that would be a shame, because I did dig it. I liked more than I didn't like. So, but at the same time, it's do it.
Because I get it that I would have liked a few things to stay, but I definitely would not have been happy if Batman stayed the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Full
villain, but the open arms that they came back to was just, that was too much for me.
because it made sense though. And then like reading Alfred's like goodbye note. Ow.
He knew. Oh.
Ow.
Yeah. Alfred MVP.
Ow. that hit me in the feels like a Mack truck. Yeah. Like,
especially because he knew, like, he called everything.
Yeah. Because he's Alfred.
Because he's Alfred and he knows Bruce better than anybody. Like,
thank you, Richard and Barbara, for being there. Just
yeah.
Oh.
I know you can't do this by yourself. Oh, Alfred, you lovely person, you.
It was, oh, yeah, it was so good. And like I said, that part of the justification, and then basically the only people that knew Gotham probably won't take him back with open arms. We don't know that that's happening.
We had the TV broadcast.
And we
had the TV broadcast where you had the one guy who was on Batman's side the whole time, and the girl that was like, well, you know, maybe Napier's not such a bad guy. Like, those are the only bits we had.
But I mean, like, the last issue, like, after everything had pretty much resolved, they were both on the same page of pro-Batman.
Yeah.
Like, she went back to Batman pretty...
Well, yeah, but
handedly.
I don't think that she was all that against Batman in the first place. I read this as it came out.
She was very much the one like, no, no, he has legitimate points, and like Batman is very much going over the line.
Right.
Like, so she was defending, like she was the one taking Joker's side. And
I know that, but I don't think she was like.
Even in other broadcasts, she did call for him to be like, no, what he's doing is way too far.
It wasn't quite.
And it was.
Like, yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, it was.
And so, like, I don't necessarily think that she was that anti-Batman, just like, Batman needs to slow his roll. Like, Batman has saved the city a whole bunch, but what he's doing right now ain't great.
It wasn't nearly as heavy-handed as Dark Knight Returns with those newscasters.
Oh, yeah, that was.
But, like. Murphy has a little bit more tact than Miller, which that isn't hard to do. But, yeah, no, she was very much on the, we should probably really look into this and maybe stop him.
Yeah, and, like, they should have. Because
they were justified.
That the EMP thing, like that chase scene through the tunnels.
Yeah,
I really liked that.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whenever
lots
they...
of great action moments in that book.
The nods to the different Batmobiles.
Yeah, yes. I was just about to say that was because like whenever you were talking about the GTO, I was like, oh man, whenever they revealed the 89 Batmobile, that made me
animated
happy.
Series Batmobile animated Tumblr. Series.
Did you guys notice the car in issue 2, the license plate on the car that Bruce Wayne pulled up in?
Mm-mm.
It was Timothy Dalton. It was a James Bond car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you need to go back and look at the... it was like DALT.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nod to Timothy Dalton that James
cool.
Bond.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'll if I can find it tonight, I'll pull it up so you can see it. But yeah, no, that's definitely a thing.
So yeah, that's... there was a lot of great action moments in that.
Yeah, no,
book.
And like...
The one other thing, what really kind of turned Harleen's plan around, OG Harley's plan around, is that new Harley did not take the breakup well.
Because she didn't care that Joker didn't love her.
Right.
She loved him, and that's what mattered to her. And I thought that was kind of a cool twist.
Yes.
I also liked Mad Hatter kind of being her Sherpa through being a standalone villain.
Uh-huh. That was just neat. To really go through with some of Jack's plans, he calls a meeting of all of the villains, Batman's Rogues Gallery, and he decides that figures out a way to basically mind control every one of them.
Which was just, yeah.
And he just does that to basically prove a point.
The license plate is Dalton 007.
Yep.
That's neat.
Because I saw the DALT and I was like, and that just sparks my interest.
Mm, right.
And I was just like, what is it? Oh, because White Knight was a James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
that's good right there. Good on you, Sean.
That's good stuff. But anyway, yeah, so she, Jack does that and before he can free the villains, because they're not going to be happy about it, first of all, but before he can actually free them, new Harley gets a hold of the helmet that has been used to mind control all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the terror
no, she doesn't get the helmet. She gets a helmet from Mad Hatter, but they get Clayface's brain.
Yeah.
Because that's all they needed. It could be any of the helmets because Joker and Harley still had the one, like, it's not responding.
Oh, that's,
and
yeah, that's right.
It's because new Joker, Neo Joker, had the brain like on her person, which was gross but cool.
Bring out Clayface.
Oh god.
So we're gonna control, all we have to do is mind control Clayface, dissolve him into all of their alcohol, have them drink it, and now that he's inside of them, we can control all of the villains.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
I really liked that that hook. And yeah, like I said, Neo Joker ended up picking it up, and then that's where most of the conflict comes from, is Jack, OG Harley, and Batman, but slightly crazy Batman, mm-hmm. trying to deal with Neo Joker having all of the villains at her disposal.
Yeah.
See, and that was the part where I kind of started turning left on the story. Like, I loved it. You should go and read it, but like the whole Neo Joker thing, I was like... because then
you
just
hate Harley so much, and this was the epitome of the Harley you hate.
Yeah, and it was turned up to 10, and I had a reason to hate it.
See, and I don't think it was turned up to 10 at all. This was the most like level-headed Harley that we had. Yes, her motivations were strictly Joker-driven, but I almost thought that made her more interesting. Like, the idea that it wasn't just Stockholm Syndrome, it was the fact that, like... But this was also a different Joker than what we've seen. Like, this wasn't necessarily, like... They didn't talk about the actual physical abuse that... came with it.
No, it was basically just he was a crazy guy that was completely 100% obsessed with Batman.
Yeah. Which that was also something that I didn't really dig. I didn't dig it when it was the Lego movie, because that was a similar story that they told of Joker wanting just that recognition from Batman to be his other half. Because I think we got a great version of that story in The Death of the Family.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. And this kind of felt like, not retreading of that story, but it's like, ah, that's a story that I've seen and there's enough familiar elements there. And I thought Scott Snyder did it a lot better.
Because I don't think
there
was
only
the...
one Harley difference. And the other one, there was like 30. And they were all in a basement dead.
Well, because then that one... It's...
Spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, the end of it, like, it was such a compelling story. And for the end of it to just, or like the resolution and the big fight just to kind of seem like a big, and I'd pulled both of these, like, it was just like a big love square. But really like a love pentagram, because... Batman's in there and there's two different Jokers and two different Harley Quinns. You get what I'm saying?
I mean, no, like I had a point I was making. It wasn't because like I just kept thinking of the dead people in basement. it's not a story that they told though about like Joker's obsession with Batman. That was just a plot point. Like it was part of the Joker's backstory,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like something new they were trying to do. And I liked it. I liked that as a motivation for Joker, that like he was completely obsessed with Batman, and that goes back to like the Jack Napier story,
right?
He liked Batman a lot and wanted to help make Gotham better,
right?
And yeah, like it was cool. Mm-hmm. I really dug it. Like the ending was a little bit too, I don't know how to say this. It felt like it was a little bit too like super plot twisty. Like, where it was just, like, to the point where it wasn't quite believable that Harley orchestrated the whole thing.
Oh, like the Kaiser Soze-ification of...
Yeah, because, like, I get it, because, like, you need that ending in case they don't greenlight the Murphyverse. Like, this has to have a definitive beginning, middle, end, and it did. It very much did have that, but the ending was one of those, like, all right, issue 8, time to tie up some loose ends. Because, like, you literally, like, the first couple pages, you have the final battle, and then you kind of have, like, all right, he's Joker, and now we have the end, where we have to tie everything up.
I mean, in fairness, I don't think it had anywhere near the pacing issues that Metal had.
No.
Like, and see, I've never read Metal. I'm not complaining about the pacing at all. Like, it did a good job in 8 issues. It's just that last issue was very much tied up.
Yeah, I mean, it tied everything. And, yeah like, I felt like that was my one complaint, and it's super minor because it didn't bug me much at all, was that they tied up a little bit too much with Harley.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it, and I thought it was a cool idea, but there was just, I guess, too much behind it for me.
Yeah.
Mostly just because, like, Asa mentioned it earlier, it was, like, my one plot point that I have real trouble looking over. How did she know that Batman was going to thrust all those pills down Joker's throat?
Right. How did Joker have any idea that he could be cured?
I mean, even? I feel like that was a note that, like, Harley could have dropped that note to Joker.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But in what universe does Harley think that Batman's going to shove a bottle of pills down Joker's throat?
Right. I mean,
maybe she thought that like Joker would just go ahead and
take
the pills.
Them, yeah.
Like, but it's still, it was,
I mean, cause Alfred wasn't sick for 2 days.
Now he'd been sick for a while. That's what started her.
And that's what I'm getting at is like, she probably could noticed that Batman was going off, like not knowing that Bruce Wayne.
Everybody
Batman.
Noticed.
Well, yeah. So she was just like, oh, he's getting worse. All right, well, I could see this very much well happening. Like, she was just like, no, this will happen. I mean, again, kind of lazy, but like, it's under, like, I can, that justification makes sense in my head.
All right. Guys, we have to cut this off. We're at an hour 23.
Not the longest show we've done.
About to say, you're not on PWU.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I don't like having the super. I don't want to scare people away with just the number.
Ah. We have a good enough fan base. You guys are lovely. If you're here towards the end and you heard me say how great you are, you're fantastic.
All right. So anyway, yeah, check out Kingdom Come. Check out White Knight if you stuck with us and, you know, wanted it spoiled for yourself. And if you have or if you haven't, like, let us know your thoughts on White Knight. Keep it as spoiler-free as possible. Just throw it in the comments on this episode. It'll be on Facebook. Yeah, you can check us out if you're listening to us not through Facebook or Podbean. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. That's where the show will be posted. Feel free to throw it on the comments. All right. And thank you for listening. See you guys next time.